I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics. Politics. Humor. Humor. Tequila. Tequila. And an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello, hello! Hello, hello, hello! Welcome to Art Cop Radio, it's show number 146. How you doing? It's been a long time. I hope I remember how to do this stuff. Well, golly gee, what a show we have today. Can you believe we have a new president? Yes! Yes, we got rid of them Bush bastards. Well, they'll be gone in, 61 days? But boy, it feels real nice to be rid of them. Thank you, Barack, for taking care of that for us. That was a cool thing to do. Now he's going to pick a cabinet. I'm pretty okay with who he's picked so far. Hillary better end up with that Secretary of State. He's been waving it around, for a week now. And get this, they're trying to vet the Clintons, the most vetted people on the planet. They're trying to investigate them, see if they're worthy of holding high office. Please. And it's people like Huffington that are making Huffington and CNN, you know, the usual suspects. They're the one acting. Oh, the drama. Will the Clintons pass the test? Yeah, yeah, yeah. All those murders in Hillary's background are suddenly coming back to haunt her. Everybody, please blow me. My God, just put her in there and let's go. We got shit to do. We don't want to hang around for 60 days and talk about, you know, let's not rehash everything from the past. Jesus Christ, let's move forward. Can we do that one thing? But hey, as usual, we got a jam-packed show. I'm sure it's going to fill the whole disc. No time to mess around. Oh, let me get my shot of Chinaco. Hell, it's been so long since I did one of these, I forgot I had to have a bottle of Chinaco nearby before we can get the show kicked off. Mighty, mighty tasty. You just can't beat that little slurp of Chinaco off the mustache. Okay, no time to tarry. Let's go to the big, big show! To talk a little bit about Kissy Face, the traitor. I don't like the son of a bitch. I guess you don't either. And of course, the Democrats have made a decision to play nice with him, and I don't understand that. We recently had a little controversy. In my opinion, Bob Perry was attacking Obama, kind of warning him, don't make the same mistake Clinton did. Don't let the bastards off the hook. Once you get in power, let's go back and look at what the crimes that Bush has committed. And I think that's a mistake. I think the time to go after the bank robber is when he's standing outside the bank with a bag of stolen money in his hand and a mask on and a gun in his hand. That's when you go after the guy. You don't wait 2 years when he's sitting in his office and say, hey, you robbed a bank. And he's going, what? I didn't rob no bank. And yeah, that's a big simplification. Nobody wants the Bush bastards held accountable more than me. And I probably wouldn't mind if Obama went after him, but Obama would get zero cooperation from him, from the bastards, the rest of his term, and they might, you know, they would go after him with much more fervor than they would ordinarily, whatever. But Kissy Face is a different story. Obama has said that he wants him treated nice. Again, this is just my words, but I would like to see some bitch kicked out on his ass. But if you are going to play nice with the guy, you can do certain things. And I don't know why they're doing this. Well, here, let's look at this a little bit. As I saw this on Talking Points memo, their source tells them Democratic leadership will propose that Lieberman keep Homeland Security chairmanship. When the Senate Dems caucus today, trying to read this on a different screen, the Democratic leadership is likely to propose that Lieberman keep his Homeland Security chairmanship but lose a lesser subcommittee chairmanship, which is some real loser fishing game thing or something that who gives a fuck? According to a source, if it happens that way, Senate Dems will be allowing Lieberman to keep his plum spot despite the fact that he'd been a disaster at the post and despite the fact that he endorsed efforts by the GOP to imply that Obama is in league with terrorists, suggesting that Obama endangers the troops. According to their source, the Democrats are expected to propose that Kissy Face be stripped of his chairmanship of the Environment and Public Works Subcommittee, a meaningless punitive action. Yeah, you're damn right that's meaningless. But look, I'm going to be with Obama as much as I possibly can, and I think this is a mistake, but that's okay. Obama can do what he wants. Christ, I'm not going to do what they did to Clinton and stab him in the back the first fucking day he was in office. Sam Nunn, I hope you don't go to sleep tonight. But instead of attacking Obama, now, I'm sorry, I'm going to ramble a little bit here. If he screws up bad, yeah, I'm going to give my opinion, but as a rule, if he makes a small mistake like this, I'm going to kind of let it go. But there are ways to do things. When you let a guy off the hook, it tells everybody else it's okay to take a stab at the king. And if you miss, that's okay. The king will say he's a good guy. Let's not punish him. So now the next piece of shit with a knife, now he's got a free shot at you. He gets a blank check. I think that's a mistake. But at the very, very least, they ought to tell Lieberman, if we let you stay in the club, if we let you keep your committee post here, then I want your word that you're with us. Well, I want your word that you're going to reject the Republicans to know on. You made your little stand. We allowed you to throw your little temper tantrum and help McCain and call me a bunch of names. This is Obama talking. But if we let you keep the spot, I want your word that you're with us in 2 years and you're with us in 4 years. And you're not going to spend all this time stabbing me in the back. You know, if you're going to be in my army, I can't have you stabbing me in the back. It would be nice if Obama took at least those measures, and maybe he did and he can't make those measures public. But, you know, Democrats don't have a very good track record for using their damn heads. They have a tendency to stumble into blunder after blunder after blunder. And even uneducated Okies from 1,500 miles away, I can see shit coming. But the Democrats, they just can't see anything. They're so stupid. They're so blind. They're so helpless. Let's hope Obama is a little different cut of cloth here. But kissy face, you're lucky Obama's in charge, not me. If I was you, yeah, I would kind of do the same thing. I'd call you in and say, dude, you have fucked up. Now, you can still be in the club, but, you know, we're going to have to punish you a little bit. We're going to have to set the example. You know, they say, I wasn't really into politics in the mid-60s, but they say LBJ is the kind of guy you just didn't cross because you knew there'd be a price to pay. And, yeah, there's been people like that, you know, Tom DeLay, and there's, you know, over the years there's been different kinds of people like that. But if you're known as a nice guy who's going to let something go when you make a big mistake, well, that invites big mistakes. It's like everything. If I'm driving 100 miles an hour down a city street and I get pulled over and the cop says, oh, Bart, you're a good guy, I'll let you go. Well, then why would I ever want to drive the speed limit again? It's the same thing with Pelosi telling Bush, impeachment's off the table. Oh, okay, well, then I'll just continue my crime spree. If impeachment's off the table, you know, there's no way that Republicans would ever let, well, A, they would never let Bush be impeached, but they would also never let former President Bush be held accountable or put on trial, anything like that. And that is kind of a bad example. Again, you need to do it while the guy's in office. And I know there's probably some decent thinking or right thinking about if we impeached Bush, then they, of course, would impeach Obama. And every president from now on would be impeached. And I can understand the rationality of not promulgating. Is that a word? That kind of behavior, I kind of get that. But the idea that Clinton was impeached for having sex and Bush killed 4,200 soldiers and started two quagmires and raped the Treasury and everything else he's done, and he got away, I mean, that just galls me no fucking end. I guess it does you too. But I, like I said, I can understand maybe a slight bit of that thinking that we don't want to have impeachment, 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 impeachment. But to stand there and say it's off the table, what an idiot. How stupid is Nancy Pelosi, and why is she still in charge? Is there anybody worse than Nancy Pelosi? And if there is, it's Harry Reid, and these two people take away Obama, these two people are running our party. The two most incompetent, brainless slugs that we have, and they're in charge? How is that possible? Blood pressure now, 210 over 140. But hey, we'll get over it. Obama's not even in office yet. Like I said, I'm going to give him a chance, and I'm probably going to come down hard on people who don't give him a chance. You know, he's going to stumble. He's going to make some mistakes, and we're going to allow that. We're going to forgive that. Because if you remember, if you're old enough to remember, Clinton's first year or year and a half in office was not really something to write home about. And it wasn't that he was evil or whatever. He just, it took him a while to get his feet under him. I remember they brought in David Gergen just because he needed somebody. Hey, anyone ever been in the White House before? You know, it's been a long time. Besides Carter 4 years, we hadn't been in the White House since, what, 68? So, yeah, that was a long time, and Clinton didn't have a lot of Democrats he could look to with experience, so he brought in Gergen. But so we expect Obama to make some mistakes. We're going to be with him. If he makes big, big, big mistakes, we're going to mention it, but I hope we don't harp on it. But kissy face, why is it always us? We got kissy face and Zell Miller. Every 4 years, the Republicans find some Democrat turncoat, Judas, Benedict Arnold piece of shit to turn on us, and they, of course they feature him, you know, the big night at the NaziCon 2012. There's going to be some Democrat up there railing about what a piece of shit Obama's been for 4 years. God, I hate that. Why are Democrats so disloyal? What's in our blood that just makes us turn on each other and join the enemy camp? That's crazy. Drives me crazy. Should drive you crazy, too. And this bit is over.
I've been waiting. Nothing's changing. I feel smarter than I am. People saving all their wages just to keep the house from falling. We'll fall victim to this sword. How many lives can we afford? That question answered, not ignored. Now that's what I'd be fighting for. I can never seem to gather. Lost my sense of humor, now that's not right. Say I'm lazy or I'm crazy, just a radical who's lost his mind. Everyone wants an answer, every race we have in room for more mistakes. Answering questions, don't ignore, and tell me what we're fighting for. Son, no one wants to lose the ones they love. Well, I don't care, I don't love. Spend my time relaxing in the sun.
This next bit is an email I got from a fellow named Mike. He wants to talk about saving Detroit. Can Detroit be saved? What are we going to do with Detroit? I already said on the page a few days ago that Republican bribes is what's killing Detroit. Republicans are being bribed to keep health care costs skyrocketing so the health care bastards can get richer, and that's causing Detroit to spend more on health care per car than they do on steel, so Detroit can't compete, so Detroit's going out of business because the Republicans keep accepting bribes to make health care unaffordable. Why do we put up with that? Maybe Obama in a filibuster-proof Congress will allow that to change, but I don't know. Changing the healthcare system, it's like changing big oil. You know, they're going to threaten to shut it all off if we try to do anything, but let's hope he tries. Anyway, Mike says, I've had American cars and foreign cars. I'd buy a good used American car again. Used is all I can dream of. All new cars are too much for me. I don't think they're that bad. The paint falling off was a few years ago, when the paint in the U.S. was changed for environmental reasons. Well, that doesn't sound right, because Honda and Toyota and the others, they also were importing cars that same year, and I doubt that Washington would give Japan preferential treatment, allow them to put on bad paint while forcing the Americans to put on the good paint. So I don't know. That doesn't sound right. I don't know that you're not wrong. I'm saying it sounds funny. Pity that it happened, but the changes in environmental standards were done for the right reasons. I read that at least one American car company did some testing on the public by changing badges around and making some, quote, Japanese cars seem to be American and some American cars seem to be Japanese, and the perception of quality changed with the badging. Well, don't know how you could do that. I mean, if you get a Lexus and put a Chevy insignia on the front, it's still going to be a Lexus. I mean, I don't know how you're going to make that mistake, but whatever. Also, we had a Japanese car, and it was bought new, the only new car I've ever bought, and it was fine for 100,000 miles, and it turned to garbage. I figure I can't say shit here. Well, yeah, you can say the damn thing you want. And the parts were more expensive than the parts I buy for a rather old Jaguar and are almost as old Range Rover. Cured me of ever owning a Japanese car again. Now, I've heard that, but I think that's years ago. It'd be my guess that then maybe in the 80s, early 90s, the Japanese parts were more. I don't know. Maybe they are. I hate to be prejudiced, but maybe the Japanese parts cost more because they work. You know, something else that needs to be. God, when you talk about Detroit, there's 1,000 roads you can go down, but the arrogance over the years. Oh, and a little sidebar, they say the oil companies have so much stock in Detroit that that's why they won't ever make a car that gets good mileage, because their owners won't allow them to. But in the old days, say 20-something years ago, I always wondered why, you know, a Cutlass had to have a certain kind of carburetor. A Malibu had to have a different kind of carburetor. A Buick Century had to have a different kind of carburetor. You know, it's like, no, why is General Motors producing 40 or 50 different size, different carburetors for the same size car? That's crazy, and it could only be they were trying to gouge the consumer. I can't think of any other reason why they couldn't use the same carburetor on, you know, most of these cars in the same category made by GM. It's like the chassis were the same and the frame was the same or whatever. You know, they got the same doors, the same hood, the same trunks. I mean, everything's the same. And then they build in this planned obsolescence to where they know you're going to have to buy a starter and a carburetor, and you're going to have to buy a new this and new that. And the idea that they make these car part companies, they have to stock 50 kinds of carburetors for General Motors products. That's stupid and it's crazy. For that matter, all these years, General Motors has been competing against itself. Pontiac competing against Buick. Chevrolet competing against whoever. And, you know, there's just no point in that. I think this is the third time I've said this. General Motors produced, I think, 97 or 105 or something different kinds of cars. And Toyota produced 8 different kinds of vehicles. I'm sorry, the first word should have been vehicles. General Motors does 100 kinds of vehicles, and Toyota did 8. And gee, is there any wonder why one's making money and one's not? Why would they do that? All right, back to his letter. I'm sure that American car companies have made many mistakes, but they do employ Americans. I feel the law should be changed to encourage production in America and free trade only where it really is free. All too often, it is free for them and restricted by either rules or traditions to us. Keep up the good fight. Well, see, again, I don't know anything about importing and exporting rules. Sorry about the interruption there. The new cat walked across the keyboard and shut everything off. This is my first time trying to do a show with a little cat who likes me a little too much. And, you know, the crazy son of a gun has found a whole lot of parts of my computer I didn't know about. Every time he walks across the keyboard, new things pop up that I've never seen on my screen before. He walked on it the other day, and a big sign showed up and said, "Prepare to stand by." Isn't that the dumbest thing you ever heard? Why would your computer say, "Prepare to stand by"? But it did that, and I don't know what buttons he hit, but it hadn't done it since. But that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Anyway, so hopefully we'll have fewer of those, but I can't control the cat. I can't lock him out of the room. He'll just scratch on the door, and that'll make noise, and so I have to let him in. And then he's walking on me. He's walking on the keyboard, as you know, like cats would do. Anyway, back to this Detroit thing. Oh, where is my train of thought? I don't know what we're going to do with Detroit because we have a big problem. Let's put it in smaller terms. Let's say you live in a small town, and the small town has 3 pizza parlors, and your good friend owns... Ow! Cat just bit me. And your good friend owns one of the pizza parlors, and, well, we'll be nice and say that his pizza doesn't taste very good. And the only reason I say that is because sales are down. If there's 3 pizza parlors in town, and one guy is doing $10,000 a month, and the other guy is doing $9,000 a month, and your friend is doing $1,500 a month, or maybe he's outright losing money, and he's been losing money for years, and then your friend comes to you and says, "Hey, could you take some money out of your savings and loan me maybe $25,000 so I can get my pizza business back on track?" And you're thinking, "Well, dude, your pizza tastes like crap. If you had a better taste in pizza, I might do that, but for years... You've been struggling to sell pizza that nobody wants. Everybody wants the other pizza. They don't want your pizza. And you're a nice guy. I like you. You're my neighbor. I realize you got six kids that need to have food on their family. But loaning you $25,000 or something to keep your business afloat when the other guys in town make better pizza, that's kind of a dumb idea. And I know a lot, especially the liberals, are writing in saying we can't allow Detroit to go under. And I understand that. But on the other hand, they just don't have a product that sells. And we can argue about whether that's fair or what the perception is or whatever. But bottom line, people won't buy cars from Detroit. They're just not going to do it. And the other thing, let's all be honest about this. This whole, I've said it a few times, but this whole crisis is a big giant hand job. They knew this was coming. Detroit didn't go bankrupt this week. They've been losing money for, I'll guess, a decade, maybe more. They're losing money every year. I think they said General Motors lost $2 billion so far this year, or maybe it was $2 billion so far this month. I don't know. They could make money by closing down, and that's a bad deal for the whatever they think. I think altogether, if you count the little people and the parts and everything else, there's 2 or 3 million people involved in the American car manufacturing business. But what are you going to do if we throw a bunch of billions at that problem? The cars aren't going to get any better. Now, if they had some plan, you know, like the example with the pizza parlor, if the guy says, hey, I got this brand new pizza recipe, I want you to try it, and I try it, and damn, that's good pizza, now we could talk. And so the analogy gets back to Detroit. If Detroit said, we need $500 billion to retool all our plants, and we're going to sell nothing but cars that run on natural gas, well, yeah, then I'd be for that, because that's an investment. You know, before I was in the car financing business, I was in the regular loan business. Well, I've been in a few businesses, you know, like a lot of people. I can't hold a job. But I used to make mortgage loans. And a guy would come to us and say, hey, I need some money to get through, you know, whatever, I got a problem. And you look at the guy's situation. And if he's always had trouble paying his debts, you know, say for the last 10 years, and now he's in a situation where he owes everybody a lot of money, he's got no equity in his house, and he's got no assets. Well, there's really nothing you could do with the guy, because my boss used to call that putting a Band-Aid on cancer. If you've got a big, big problem, putting a Band-Aid on it is not going to help. You need surgery. You need chemo. You need something. You need a massive thing, not a little bitty thing. So if Detroit was, if they had some kind of plan to do something different, I would be in favor of bailing them out. But, oh, this is going to get me in so much trouble. But it's a little like New Orleans. Should we rebuild New Orleans when it's below sea level? Well, gee, I don't know. All the Gulf of Mexico has to do is sneeze, and New Orleans is underwater again. So why would you want to rebuild a city that's underwater? And I understand New Orleans is a great city, but and Detroit is a great town too. But if they're failing on their own, it doesn't help to drag. You know, if you're in a boat that's sinking, having your friends get in the boat with you, I don't see how that helps anybody. And I know that's going to make people angry. But instead of saying, oh, Bart, you hate America, no, why don't you write and say, Bart, here's why you're wrong. If we give Detroit a bunch of money, this is how they'll pay us back. But you've got to figure out a way to get people, all the Republicans that lately keep saying that nobody will buy their dog food. The dog just won't eat the dog food, and that's the situation that Detroit is in. Something has to be done. If we give Detroit a whole lot of money and they keep producing the same cars that nobody wants, all we've done is lose the money. And I realize they say if Detroit goes under, which is real possible, someone said by the end of the year, General Motors stock will be at zero. Isn't that crazy? I don't know. I don't understand how. Do you mind? I understand how that works, because they've got assets. I guess they just owe more on their assets. You know, if you have a $1 billion auto producing plant and you owe $2 billion, yeah, I guess your net worth is zero. But we have to do something besides just throw money at it. If we can throw constructive money at it, fine. But if you're going to sell the same old pizza that nobody wants, how am I going to loan you money? No matter how nice a guy you are, no matter how many kids you got, if your pizza is bad, if people won't buy the pizza, what else can we do? Sorry about that. That cat once again walked across the keyboard and shut everything down. Amazing, a big, important enterprise like Bark Cop Radio gets shut down by something the size of a Velveeta cheese box. Another point I was going to make about this, and this is something that's real hard to refute, because when I financed cars, I had two car finance careers. One went from 93 to 2000. The other one went from 2000 to 2003. That's when I made the decision to trust in the kindness of strangers to make a living. Good decision, dude. But altogether, I was in the car financing business for 10 years, and we bought used cars in bulk from a big Pontiac dealer here in Tulsa. The owner, see, I'd had no influence over the owner. He had been in business for 20 or 25 years. It was the only business he'd ever been in. He knew cars. And these Pontiac people would call maybe every Monday and say, we've got 12 cars for you. Come over here and pick them up. Or we got 6 cars. We got 22 cars, whatever. Most American cars were towed to the auction. And most of the Japanese cars were cleaned up and put on the lot for sale. In the used car business, you learn real quick that if the car breaks, it's real hard to get paid. So if you sell a guy a piece of crap car, and he makes one payment, maybe two, and then he writes and or he calls you and says, hey, the transmission fell out. I need $2,500 to get the car back in shape. Well, often we didn't pay $2,500 for the car in the first place. So how are we going to loan a guy $2,500 to reinvest in a car that we sold him for $5,000? See, that's that trap you end up in. And that's the trap we were stuck in for many, many years. We'd buy a piece of shit used car for $5,000 that the dealer probably had $1,200, $1,500 in. And then if the air conditioner breaks, if the transmission goes out, if you blow a motor, anything at all goes wrong with it, you got to put more money into the car than it's worth, and you're in this endless, senseless loop. If you buy, say, 20 cars a week for 20 years, you learn real quick which cars are going to work and which cars are going to sell. You also learn real quickly which cars you have to get rid of, because if the last 20 Chevrolets burned you, you just don't want to buy any more Chevrolets. Right now, America is struggling with what to do with Detroit. I'm not eager to let Detroit go under, but we can't save the Detroit that we now know. If they're going to put more money into healthcare than they are into steel, how are we going to finance their steel business? They're paying more for healthcare than they are for steel. So we're stuck. The answer is to fix healthcare, which we can't do overnight. General Motors is going to go under before we can fix healthcare. That's a fact. If Detroit goes out of business, unemployment's going to 10%. Now, I don't know if we've seen 10% unemployment in my lifetime. We may have to go back to the 30s to find that kind of trouble. But that's what we might be in. But again, this didn't happen overnight. You know, all this stuff with the Lehman Brothers and AIG and all that, it did not happen overnight. They're just lying to us. They're just flat-out lying. You don't go from a big, profitable mega giant like whatever Morgan Stanley or somebody. You don't go from a multi-billion-dollar company to broke overnight. You just don't do it. They saw this coming. And they just hid the bad news. They just kept putting it off and rewriting the books and hiding the bad news and playing up the good news. And they just kept going and kept going. And they just got to a point where they couldn't go anymore. But the people who phonied up the books, they should be in prison now. Why doesn't somebody say that? This money didn't just disappear. It was stolen. Trust me, the super rich got out. The reason they cooked the books is so people could get out of the business before it crashed. That's how it worked with Enron. They kept telling people, no, your money's safe. Meanwhile, they were cashing out. And at some point, they got down to zero money. And then they said, oh, by the way, we're bankrupt. We're out of business. Sorry. You're out of luck. What can I say? I don't have a magic wand. That's what they're doing to us on Wall Street. Detroit, on the other hand, has been losing money for a long, long time. We knew this was coming. But I guess this credit crunch has put the big bag on them. However, geez, I know it sounds awful, but you turn on your TV right now, you're going to see commercials for Toyota and Mazda, Honda, and everybody saying, come get a car, we'll give you $3,000 cash back and this and that. They're not going to give that to everybody. If you own a home and you've been in it for 5 or 10 years and you've been on your job for a while, they're probably going to give you a car, because right now, if you're a big car company and you've got, say, 100,000 cars sitting there, would you rather have 100,000 cars or would you rather have 50,000 cars and 50,000 IOUs that you got to cherry pick yourself? Obviously, they'd rather have the 50,000 cars and the 50,000 IOUs. That's the business they're in. Same way with Sears. You go to Sears, you buy a television for $300. They've got 150 into the TV. Sears isn't in the department store business. They're in the credit business. If you go buy a $300 TV and you put $150 down, they've broken even. They can't lose money. They cannot make money, but they've got nowhere to go but up. Odds are, 30 days later, they're going to get a payment in the mail. That's what built Sears. They're in the financing business. If you can't finance your product, you have to be selling bubble gum. You got to be selling something so cheap that everybody can reach in their pocket and have enough money to pay for it. But for some reason, Japan is able to finance their own cars, but General Motors can't do it. I don't have the answer. I just know if the pizza tastes bad, nobody wants to buy it. And as good as the guy is, as nice as your neighbor is that owns a pizza parlor, if nobody will eat his pizza, how are you going to take money out of your savings account and loan it to this guy knowing that he's going to be bankrupt soon? If nobody wants Detroit products, how are we going to put money into trying to save it?
John McCain stands alone in his stubborn refusal to end a misguided war. That's not the judgment we need. That won't keep America safe. We need a president who can face the threats of the future, not keep grasping at the ideas of the past.
Mips! Black man, white man, wrong man, right man. Mr. George Bush, I'm modern day tyrant. Therefore I am Ivan Lightspin. One hell of a show which makes the devil my hype man. Mama people, I am your son. We turn Air Force Ones into Air Force One. The more you get beat, they say the pain goes numb. In the words of Mr. Sam Cooke, a change gon' come. When we control the whips and put the chains on them, I bet they won't turn their back like it ain't on them. They say sky's the limit, even that's not that far. So when I grow up, mama, I want to be Barack star.
The same party that brought you 2 terms of George Bush and Dick Cheney will ask this country for a third.
I want to be Barack star.
And we are here. We are here because we love this country too much to let the next 4 years look just like the last 8.
Look. State, red state, dear Mr. Head of State, I'm looking for a leader who won't hesitate to legislate. They say if you wish to conquer, then you separate. New techniques is what we need to set the record straight. Gas prices escalate, foreclosures, check the rate. 5-1 arms gonna leave my people unarmed. Crime at a high, how could I remain calm? Our country's at war and they ain't even dropped the bomb. They hit us where they knew it was gonna hurt us. It's like watching a murder without using the burners. But since sky's the limit, I say change ain't that far. So when I grow up, mama, I wanna be Barack star.
But share the belief that in America, their son could achieve whatever he put his mind to. It is that promise that's always set this country apart. That through hard work and sacrifice, each of us can pursue our individual dreams, but still come together as one American family to ensure that the next generation can pursue their dreams as well.
Look, we used to live through Dr. King's dream. Now we turn smaller pictures into big screens. It's no longer a fantasy, it's a plan to me. With hopes the world could all practice philanthropy. Mr. Douglas, for this you gotta love us. Hello, Mr. X, bear witness our progress. Sometimes life can seem so hard-pressed. They say they do, but they don't know our stress. So we made it from the projects up into the podium. I can feel the hate spread, they saltier than sodium. So here we go again, the top ain't that far. And when I get older, man, I wanna be Barack star.
These challenges are not all of government's making. But the failure to respond is a direct result of a broken politics in Washington and the failed policies of George W. Bush.
I wanna be Barack star. I wanna be Barack star.
Okay, now I'd like to tell you about a little trip we took. As you know, for tax purposes, it helps me to talk about it, because if I talk about it, then it's an expense, right? It's been so long, it might have been our last radio show, but we took a trip to New York in April. And at the time, I was asked, do you still have some of those frequent flyer miles? And I said, yes, so the flight was on me. This time, I used my head. I probably shouldn't even be confessing this. Back in April, they asked if we could come back in November for a Obama victory party. Of course, we didn't know if it was going to be Obama, but we knew we were hoping it was going to be a Democrat. And I said we'd try to make that. So when I was asked recently, do you still have some of those frequent flyer miles? I said, no, not me. And they said, that's okay. We'll take care of that. So we got on a little puddle jumper in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was about 2 hours to Cincinnati. Oh, what a lovely town you have, you Cincinnatians. Had an hour layover there. And this wasn't not to besmirch my hosts, but, you know, them puddle jumpers aren't as smooth as, say, a Southwest airline. Anyway, it was could have been worse. Nothing is as bad as the, again, donated trip my good friend Don Ho sent us to Hawaii. And just before we was leaving, we took a teeny tiny airplane from the Big Island to Maui, I think is how that works. Anyway, we're talking about it. The plane was so small, they didn't have a check-in counter. Anyway, this plane, it taxied for maybe 50 feet before it took off. And when it took off, it went straight up in the air. It's like, oh, geez. Oh, I got a cat in my lap. Damn it. Anyway, it wasn't that bad, so we felt better. So after our layover in Cincinnati, we landed in Albany. And being the genius that I am, I went over to Avis and said, I'd like to pick up my car. And he says, we don't have a car for you. And I said, hey, don't F with me. I'm a busy man. I got shit to do. Now give me my car. And he says, we don't have a car for you. And I pulled out my reservation confirmation thingy that I printed and showed it to the guy like, hey, suck on this. And he looks at it and says, oh, you've got a car rented in Albany, Georgia, genius. And I thought, oh, no, is this how this trip's going to go? So finally he said, I got a car here for you that's whatever, 2 1/4. And I said, 2 1/4? Jesus Christ, are you trying to kill me? We're just here for a couple of days. What are you, nuts? I can't pay no 2 1/4. And he said, and he, dot, 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 he does on the keyboard. And he says, oh, here we go. How about the same car for 154? I thought, well, there, yeah, see, remember how I'm always telling you? They always try to screw you. And if you say, okay, then the screwing occurs. But if you say, hey, what is this crap? No way, Jack, that ain't going to happen. Not on my dime. And then he said, oh, you're right. Oh, look, I hit the wrong button. I'll be damned if I didn't just save you about $75. Okay, so we jumped in the car. And the deal is, last 3-4 times we've been out of town, we went to cities. And Mrs. Bart doesn't like cities. I mean, she can tolerate them, but when she wants to get away, she'd rather go out in the woods. She wants to see the woods, the desert, the mountains, the lakes. Don't get many beaches, but, you know, instead of messing with a bunch of people, standing in lines and this and that, she likes to get out amongst the God's creatures. So that's what we decided to do. We're going to drive around upstate New York for at least a day, more like a day and a half. And something I found out, it kind of makes sense logically, but, you know, in New York, there's New York City, and then everything else is upstate New York. And upstate New York is big. It's big and wide and tall. I didn't know. You don't think of New York being a big, big state, but, yeah, just try to get from one end of New York to the other. Good luck. So we landed and got our little, it was a piece of shit. What was it, a Impala? Sorry about you Detroit guys, but Christ, this was a bad car. Brand new car, you know, obviously, 22,000 miles or something, but please. The only good thing about it had the XM radio. I like me some XM radio because a busy man like me, I got shit to do. I got to stay in touch. I can't afford to have stuff going down and me go, huh, what are you talking about? So it helps me to have the XM radio. So we didn't know where to go. We had some friends give us some suggestions. So we decided to head to Adirondack Park. Is that how you say that? Adirondack? It's like the Adirondack chairs. That's where those came from, that little park. And that's a big park. You can just drive and drive and drive in that park. Matter of fact, not sure why. I'm an experienced driver and I'm an old man. And we've driven all over the country. But for some reason, this was just taking a long time. I'm sure a lot of it, we're stopping to take pictures and stuff. But he got near Darkfall. Is that a word? Darkfall? And we were still way the hell in the center of the park. So eventually we weaseled our way back to the interstate. We tried to stay. Oh, this might be semi-interesting. We wanted to stay in one of these little towns. What we were doing, we were heading for, remember back in the old days, I used to watch the Dick Van Dyke Show. At one time, it was the funniest show on TV. And they would always talk about the Catskills. Buddy Sorrell would go to the Catskills on weekends and do stand-up and make some extra money to compliment his writing for Alan Brady. Anyway, so I envisioned the Catskills being a little like Vegas in that you would get there and there's clubs and restaurants and hotels and shit to do and more clubs, more nightclubs, more restaurants, more hotels, more shit to do. I expected all that. Nope. And if there was, I couldn't find it. But we started running around the Catskills, and we ran into Woodstock. And I knew that, like everything, Woodstock is upstate New York. The Catskills were upstate New York, but I didn't know Woodstock was in the Catskills. So we drive in this little teeny tiny Woodstock, And it was a little, well, I don't know how many, it's like a little hippie town. You could just tell the houses are painted gaily, you know, kind of blue and red with purple trim kind of thing. Not gay, but oddly Victorian. If you've ever been to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, you know, there's probably one or two of these in every state, but it's just a little hippie town, peace signs all over the place, lots of little shops, not much industry. Oh, and don't get me started on that. What's wrong with New York? You know, I've had this problem before in New York, had this problem in D.C., had this problem in a lot of places back east. What's wrong with you back Easter people? Don't you understand the value of having, like, commerce and stuff? We drove and drove and drove. We must have driven, you know, a lot of times 10, 15 miles inside a town. We're driving in these small towns or whatever. In New York, all the towns are connected on the map. It looks like, oh, here's a town, and you go 15 miles, and there's another town. Well, no, it's all town. You know, there's no woods between towns, kind of. There was never a McDonald's. We couldn't find a 7-Eleven. We couldn't find just normal things. Now, you come to Oklahoma, you find a McDonald's or an Arby's or a Burger King, something like that, on every corner. In Oklahoma, you can find a McDonald's, a Burger King, an Arby's, whatever, on every corner. And there's convenience stores everywhere. There's Quick Trips. There's 7-Elevens. There's just activity, you know. But back east, we had the same problem in Washington, D.C. I remember telling you about it. We drove and drove and drove for 20, 30 minutes inside Washington, D.C. Never saw a payphone. This is back, I think, before I had a cell phone. But what's wrong with you people back east that you don't have? Hell, in Oklahoma, when they have a Quick Trip sponsors a safety for kids thing, to where they say, you know, if some weirdo tries to pull you in a car, get to the Quick Trip, because the Quick Trip man is your friend, and, you know, he'll call the police, and you're safe once you get inside the Quick Trip. And that's a really cool thing. Quick Trip is a well-run organization. If you don't have Quick Trip, I feel bad about you. But they don't have that back east. But they, you know, you're driving around the main highway through town, and you're seeing muffler shops and industry, and you're seeing, you know, manufacturing plants and stuff, mile after mile. Where do these people go to eat for lunch? Do they all take their lunch to work? When lunchtime, do they drive 30 miles to find a McDonald's or a sandwich shop or whatever? Another weird thing about you people back east, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. We would see what we knew were restaurants, but there, where was the big neon sign that said, hi, Bob's Barbecue, with one of those neon open signs near the front door? See, now in Oklahoma, they kind of invite you into the building. Oh, God, the cat's in. Oh, kitty, go away. Oh. The new cat is a real troublemaker. More on that later. So we keep passing these, what we assumed were restaurants and that, with no names on them. There's a little building with 18 cars parked in front of it. We think, well, that's probably a restaurant, but I'm not going to walk in there. Who knows what kind of restaurant it is? Why don't they have any brand name restaurants? And I'm not, it's not like we eat every meal at an Arby's or a McDonald's, but, you know, there are restaurants, whatever, a TGI Fridays or a Chili's or just something that you've heard of before in your life. But no, they didn't have any of those. They also didn't have any what I would consider normal hotels. Here we are. It's probably Thursday, starting to get dark, maybe 6 o'clock, whatever. And it's a couple hours back to Albany, where we know we have a hotel if we need one. But we thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to stay in one of these little mom-and-pop hotels in the Adirondacks up, you know, around Woodstock and the Catskills? But no, they don't have that. We saw some motels and hotels, but not that we'd want to stay at. Again, in Oklahoma and in Texas, Utah, all California, Nevada, Colorado, when you see a hotel that says, you know, the Vagabond Hotel, welcome, vacancy, all that kind of stuff. No, these places didn't have any of that. They were just little older places, could have been 50 years old kind of building, kind of looking run down. And, you know, you might see a piece of wood that says hotel, but I'm sorry. And it's not that I'm addicted to neon. I just would like to think that they're inviting people. You got travelers on the road. If I'm going to pull in and take off my pants, I'm sorry, I want a little bit of normalcy showing on the exterior before I put my money down and pull my pants off. You know what I'm talking about? So we didn't see any of that. And that's wasn't disturbing. It was just unusual to see that. So the hotels and the restaurants, they're just not well-marked. They're not inviting. If you live in the neighborhood and you know that Bob opened up a restaurant in that one little shack that used to be this other restaurant, well, then you might go eat there. But if you're a traveler coming through, sorry, I want to see, and it doesn't have to be neon. I just want to see something that grabs the eye that says, hey, we would like to exchange our goods for your money. Would you consider spending your money here? That's all I'm asking for. We couldn't find that, so we drove. Oh, and we pulled over. We saw a thing, travel information, you know, kind of. We always stop there, get a chance to use the bathroom, maybe get a map, get some recommendations. So I go in. I said, lady, you got any hotels around here? She said, well, there's hotels everywhere. And I'm going, well, you got any kind of like a chain hotel, like a Best Western or a Quality Inn or something? She goes, no, we don't have no Best Western. We don't have no Quality Inn. And it's like, well, all right, be that way. This is the travel tips, whatever you call that, travel center. You know, it's like, yeah, go ahead, bite my head off because I asked a question, bitch. What are you, crazy? You're the town's ambassador to the lost traveler, and you're jumping on me because I don't like an unlit, unmarked place to stay. I'm sorry. Show me a sign. Show me a, you know, when I was a kid on the turnpikes here, I guess everywhere we go, anytime we'd see a turnpike, you get on the turnpike, and the only place to eat would be a Stuckey's. Anybody old enough to remember Stuckey's? And it was aptly named because you go in there and a Coke's like $4. Hello, Coke's like 50 cents when I was a kid, or 25 cents. And they would just rape you on the prices. But that was it. It was a turnpike. You know, you stop there for gas because you have to. And you use the bathroom. And if you want to drink, well, you know, you either drink at their prices and eat a hamburger at their prices, or you do without. Today, so few things get better as time goes by, but these days on a turnpike, they have a McDonald's or an Arby's or something to where if they rape you, you can hold it against them. And that's a good thing. You go to a ballpark or you go to something, and if they have a chain there that you recognize and they want, you know, $6 for a hamburger, you say, hey, McDonald's, you're trying to rape me. I don't like that. I'm not going to let you get away with it. I'm not going to McDonald's anymore. See, now that forces them to give you a decent product at a decent price. But if it's not a chain, if it's no one you've ever heard of, if you're not ever going to be there again, they can go ahead and stick it to you. And what do you got? So anyway, having a good time. Sounds like we're not, but we are. We rolled a couple, and we're driving around in the mountains, having a good time. But it's starting to get dark, so we head back to the interstate. We stayed at, seemed like Clifton Park something. But one interesting thing, I mentioned we had the XM radio. We're driving around, we're listening to Stephanie Miller. Don't know if you know Stephanie Miller. It's my opinion, it's my recollection, that her dad was Bill Miller, the Republican, who ran with Goldwater in 64. Well, he brought his little girl up fine. She didn't follow in daddy's footsteps. She's a Democrat. Of course, you probably know her. She's lots more famous than I am, obviously. And she mentions that Pickles Bush is going to give a tour of the White House to Mrs. Obama. And I thought, oh, that's cool, because I wrote Pickles Bush. That was my... See, now this ties into the Catskills again. Buddy Sorrell's wife on the Dick Van Dyke Show was named Pickles. And I don't know why. Maybe I was in an altered state, but somehow Laura Bush just came up as Pickles in my head. Pickles was a tiny character, probably only in three or four of the entire, whatever, maybe there was 150 Dick Van Dyke. She was maybe in three or four shows. So she wasn't even like a real character on the show. But somehow Pickles became Laura Bush. And you know how it spreads like a fever or whatever. It's contagious and it gets around. So people have been calling Laura Bush Pickles. And it's funny to be riding down the road and hear someone on a satellite from whatever, a couple thousand miles up in the air, beam back something that you wrote. I just thought that was cool. That's my little brag of the day. Remember, as Rush says, I never, ever brag on myself. Ever, never, never. But when I do, it's because if I don't, nobody else will. Okay. We grabbed a hotel. My good memory says Clifton Park, New York. Wake up the next morning and drive south. We were up so far north, we had to drive maybe an hour or two south just to get to Albany. And then the party that we're attending is in Middleton, which is spelled Middletown, but the locals don't call it. Oh, they don't recognize the W. How cool is that? I think everyone should not recognize the W, but their Middletown is called Middleton when you say it. So that's where the big, big party was. So we woke up Friday morning, started driving south, and I'll be damned. A little sidebar, when we got off the plane in Albany, they have weird grass in Albany, and no, not that kind. But we got off, and right at the airport, trying to get from the airport to the interstate, they got this weird but really, really cool tall grass. They had several kinds of it. By tall grass, I'm talking maybe from 3 feet to 6 feet maybe, and there's different kinds. It was like, here's the kind of light brown kind. It's like 3-4 feet tall, and then here's the light brown with the dark brown top that's like 7 feet tall. And I thought, well, that's really cool because we don't have that kind of grass in Oklahoma. All we have is Mexican dirt weed. So anyway, when we landed and looked around, we thought, oh, the trees have already kind of turned. That's too bad, because we're going out at this fancy party at this fancy farm. They call it a farm, but I'm not sure they grow shit there. It may just be when you own land in New York, you can say, I've got a 100-acre front lawn, or you can say, I have a farm. And I thought, well, darn, it looks like we are a week or two late to see the fine trees. But then as we drove south, the trees started getting brighter and brighter. Cool. So by the time we got to Albany, they were doing good. And by the time we got to Middleton, they were doing real good. Trees, you've seen trees before. There's your reds and your yellows and your oranges and that. Real cool. Oh, another cat attack. Hello, kitty.
Daddy's on the radio.
Okay, so we get to the big, big party. And there we run into the man who you know as Frank. And he's given me permission to say his real name. His real name is Perry Sanders. And I dropped a couple of hints. You know, seemed like every time we were together, Perry Sanders Sr., the preacher. Now, you know I'm not big on preachers per se, but this is the preacher. I met him, great man, incredible personality, like his son. But dad is like, in his 80s. He's the preacher that was invited to speak at some church, and he broke his hip on the way to the altar. And the ambulance showed up, and he said, well, excuse me, I'll be with you boys a minute. I got a speech to deliver. He stood there, I assume, on his good leg, because I haven't had a broken hip, but I've had a broken femur. And you don't want to stand on a broken femur. I got a feeling standing on a broken hip is similar. So I'm assuming he stood on the good leg, and he gave a sermon. Now, that's some balls, don't you think? He's got my respect. Man delivers a speech with a broken hip. Dude, you're the man. So that's why whenever I was traveling with his son, I kept running into phone calls with the Reverend Perry Sanders. He's a fun guy, and his son is Perry, who I went to school with. Anyway, he is one of these high-powered entertainment lawyers that introduced me to these other high-powered entertainment lawyers and connected entertainment people in New York, and that's how I met, for instance, the Beatles lawyer, Mr. Lukowski, my good friend, who I got to argue politics with at the party. Well, actually, I didn't argue. We agree on Der Bush Monkey. But I just thought it was real cool to have a conversation with somebody who, if he's the Beatles lawyer, I assumed he's had conversations with the Beatles. So I talked to someone who talked to the Beatles. Hey, how about that? Friday we got together, then the party started. And I'll tell you, when you're in Perry's presence, just try to stop the party. Go ahead, just try. I think first thing we did, we got together, I helped him put FullTiltPoker.com on his little laptop so he could play online poker. He likes to play poker. And as my previous stories will corroborate, it's a bit tricky to log on to those things, so I helped him do that. Oh, and then the party got started. Ran into some other of his friends that were also going to the party. See, now this is a big party in Middleton, but musicians from around the country were there. There were some musicians from Maine. There were some musicians from California. There was a famous musician there. I'm not going to tell you his name till the end. And we were ensconced in the Courtyard Marriott in Middleton. If you ever get a chance to stay at the Courtyard in Middleton, take it. Nice, nice place. So we're sitting around telling stories, and this guy tells me he's doing the cooking, part of the cooking for the party tonight, and he, since he's from Louisiana, he brought alligator and turtle. Little pause for effect there. I ain't never had no turtle. I ain't never had no alligator. And it's been 2 weeks since the party. I still ain't had no turtle. I still ain't had no alligator. Can you believe it? I passed up a chance to eat the turtle and the alligator. Anyway, they had to get to the party early because you know how alligator and turtle take a while to cook for all the turtle flavors to coalesce. He was making turtle soup. Okay, so we had to get to the party early so we could get the turtle cooking. So we all head over to the big farm. We met our host, Greg and Terry. They were very, very nice. They have multiple buildings on their land, on their property. It had the big main house, then they had a garage where the band was set up and playing, and then they had another building where the liquor was kept. How cool is that? This is, I guess, the biggest party I've ever been to. I've been to lots of parties, but not by, what word am I looking for? Accomplished people that aren't terribly broke. Also, what was cool was my kind of weather. Cold, rainy, drippy, dewy. Oh, I love that kind of weather. Foggy. I got pictures somewhere, but we could just stand there and see the fog roll in over their land. It was real cool. More and more people showing up. Met some interesting people. Met some musicians from Maine. One fellow I met was James Wallace. You can see him at jameswallace.com. Also, I know I'm going out of order here, but also met a great guitar player. Oh, this guy was fun to watch. He goes by Dr. Chops. chops, as in he knows how to play guitar. And you can see him at myspace.com/Dr. Chops. I know a good guitar player when I see one. When he got done playing, I went up to him and said, dude, I'm old, I've seen them all, and you play real damn good. You know something else? He played with some swagger. He would tear that guitar up. Dr. Chops. His real name is Case, like a case of beer, Case Newcomb. I think that's N-E-W-C-O-M-B. But he goes by Dr. Chops. Check him out. He's real good. So having a good time. As time went by, food was served. They're also frying turkeys. I think someone said they fried 6 turkeys. A lot of people there. So after the food, now it's dark. The band's playing. The band's getting better each time, too. I didn't see any bands that weren't good. The band started good, and then they just got better. Oh, another little sidebar. These people are rabid Democrats. I mean, they make me look like a middle roader. And there was a McCain Palin sign stuck in the ground, kind of off to the left of where the band was. And I heard someone ask the host, dude, what's with the McCain Palin sign? And he said, well, that's in case somebody needs to piss. Tell you, it was a fun party. Lots of people there. I got to speak for maybe a half hour to a rocket scientist. And that was funny, sitting there watching a football game. Seemed like they said he was from Stanford. And you would not doubt this was a rocket science guy after talking to him for a while. Then the Beatles attorney came in. He's getting married. Met him at the Les Paul party. Oh, boy. Fun going to New York with some entertainment lawyers because they're so connected. They know, you know, there's just a whirlwind going around that you don't get in Oklahoma. Okay, so what else happened? So we're standing in the cold, breezy, misty air, listening to these really good bands. Got a shot of Patron in one hand. Who knows what in the other hand. Meeting these interesting people. Having that good time. It's a really, really nice party. Well done. Oh, we were unable to stay. See, we got there like 2 o'clock, and I've done this before. Did this in Vegas to my great embarrassment. But when you start a party like at 2 o'clock or at noon or something, come midnight, you're pretty wasted. And they kept saying, no, Bart, you can't leave yet. We got special guests coming. And I'm saying, well, I don't know. It's 10 hours of drinking. The whole adds up after a while. And they said, well, no, Sean Paul's coming. And I've heard the name Sean Paul. Not exactly. I mean, at first I thought P. Diddy. No, it wasn't P. Diddy. There's a, I think they said a Jamaican rapper named Sean Paul was coming. And as much as I would have liked to have seen Sean Paul, like I say, 10 hours of drinking, et cetera, et cetera. We'd been done some driving that day and this and that. It just wasn't in the cards for us to stay. So we cut out there about midnight, 12:30. From there, back to the hotel, out of there first thing the next morning, back in that little puddle jumper. Oh, bought a pair of iPhones. I bought one for me, and I liked it so much. I knew Mrs. Bart wouldn't let me get away with having a toy she didn't have, so I had to buy her one too. We were somewhere. We were in Middleton somewhere, and we couldn't find the hotel they'd arranged for us. And so I'm sitting there with the iPhone, and they have a GPS in the iPhone. Now, that's maybe, I mean, there's a lot of good things about an iPhone, and that's maybe the best thing for my money, is they have the little locator. So we're sitting there at this intersection, or I don't know, we were getting gas or something, and I just punched in Courtyard Marriott, and I said, hey, dude, you're 2 blocks away, and this little red pin started vibrating or glowing or whatever it does, and it told me that that's where the hotel was. And how cool is that? To get email and news and stuff in your while you're traveling in a car, I just think is damn cool. That's a whole giant leap for mankind as far as I'm concerned. The other thing the iPhone does, which is hard to believe this works, but I've done it myself. They have a thing in there called Shazam, like Gomer Powell used to say. I think there was a superhero named Shazam years ago. But what you do, if you hear a song and you don't know who is doing the song, you punch this Shazam button on your iPhone, and it listens to maybe 5-10 seconds of the song, and it tells you who that is. Is that not wild? I never even heard of that before, but that's crazy. There's 2 good things about iPhone there. You can send email. Obviously, that works. You can take a picture of something and send a picture to somebody. And I know for you tech people, you think, oh, idiot Bart, 2008, he's just finally catching up to where we were 5 years ago. Yeah, I admit. But there's a lot of America still don't have an iPhone, still can't take a picture of something on the road and email it to you while you're driving down the highway. That's way cool. What I don't like about the iPhone is that battery runs down. You know, on our old piece of crap phone from Sprint, you could leave it on for a week on a charge. And that's because it doesn't do anything. It just sat there. The iPhone, you know, you got weather on it. You got GPS. You got your internet. You got your email. I like that Shazam, and I like that GPS locator. I'd like to thank our hosts, Greg and Terry. You guys were great. Great party. Great food. And I did try some of the food, just didn't try the turtle and the alligator. Met a bunch of interesting people. The farm is, I think they said, a little over 200 years old. The farm they bought, the buildings and that, I think they said was around 1790. It's my first party in a 200-year-old building. That was cool. People were cool. Food was cool. Music was way cool. There was just all kinds of music from all kinds of directions. No country, though, which I could stand. It was great. I had a good time, and I enjoyed it immensely.
The meek ain't going Harry shit, because I'll take it.
But it is time for new rules, the last one of our season. Open. New rules, everybody. New rule, stop saying that we've overcome racism just because we found a qualified black man and elected him president. Everybody knows we won't have true equality until we elect a dumb, unqualified black man. New rule, when you say you're not comparing someone to Hitler, you're comparing them to Hitler. This week, a Georgia congressman said, I'm not comparing Obama to Adolf Hitler. What I'm saying is there's the potential of going down that road. Well, Congressman, I'm not comparing your head to a butt plug, but it does seem to spend a lot of time up your ass. New rule, stop calling it scotch tape. I ate a whole roll. I didn't even get tipsy. New rule, Hank Paulson must drop the $700 billion in bailout money from a plane and let everyone scramble for it on the ground.
I like that.
Sure, it'll be chaos, but at least this way we have a chance of getting our money back. New rule, stop following me around the parking lot so you can take my spot. I don't even have a car. I'm just wandering around because Obama won and I'm on acid. New rule, go away. If John McCain and Sarah Palin want to keep appearing on television, they must sing or do magic tricks. If we wanted to keep seeing you, we would have voted for you. Now, Sarah, you walk away with $150,000 in party gifts. And our thanks for playing our game. Now go back to Alaska and wait for your year's supply of Rice-A-Roni. The last time I saw a loser hang around this long was Sanjaya. And finally, new rule, the rest of the world can go back to being completely jealous of America. Yes. Our majority white country just freely elected a black president, something no other democracy has ever done. Take that, Canada. Where's your Nubian warrior president? Your head of state is a boring white dude named Stephen Harper, and mine is a kick-ass black ninja named Barack Hussein Obama. That's right, everybody. I take back every bad thing I ever said about the good old USA. I've gone from goddamn America to goddamn America. I feel like a hockey mom at the state fair getting felt up by Hank Williams Jr. while fireworks go off and Jesus appears in my cotton candy. It would be stupid not to be stupid about it. So I'd like to take this moment, when we finally got one right, to bask in a little unwarranted, unapologetic, irrational, faux patriotism. Or as Fox News calls it, regular programming. Now, I might regret this. It's kind of like going grocery shopping when you're high. But here goes, world. We're Americans. We built the Golden Gate Bridge and Hoover Dam and Joan Rivers. We're the only country that can look at a sandwich made of ice cream and chocolate cookies covered in fudge and think, huh, you think we could fry that? And you know what? Yes, we can. They may have 72 virgins, but we have 31 flavors. You know what our favorite burger topping is? Another burger. We invented rock and roll, jazz, funk, R&B, and hip-hop. Without our music, your iPods would be filled with ABBA, Menudo, and Men at Work. And you wouldn't have iPods. Not only did we create the internet, we're the ones who filled it up with porn. Jefferson lived here, and Miles Davis, and Mark Twain, and Frank Lloyd Wright, and a lot of other people Sarah Palin never heard of. In America, strippers and Disney stars have an equal right to be named Hannah Montana. And I was freely able to make a movie saying there's no afterlife and you could watch it while eating crap that'll kill you. But that's okay because our corn-fed high school sophomores are bigger than your soldiers and they're better armed. I ask you, in what other nation would they tax young people to make sure old people can afford erections? What you call football, we call soccer. And what you call war crimes, we call football. So let me just say it again. We elected a black guy, and it was because he was the best candidate, not because it was some cheap gimmick. And we should know, because we are also the country that invented cheap gimmicks. Yes, America is like Jessica Simpson. Sometimes it's so stupid it embarrasses you, but on the other hand, how about them titties?
Well, there you had it. Breakout Radio Show number 146 is in the can for better or worse. And that was kind of a weird show, wasn't it? If this is your first show, we've had some new subscribers. Sorry, it's been like 2 years since the last show. I promise I'm going to do more shows. I'm going to do more shows quicker, more shows better. I'm also trying to get Tommy back in on the deal. He's been busy, you know. He's Mr. L.A. Superstar. I got to try to pull him away from his important business to help with the little Mickey Mouse Treehouse radio show. But if you didn't like this show, don't unsubscribe. Instead, go back a couple of shows, back when I was funny, back when I was good, and you'll see what potential there might be, because I'm going to do another radio show next week, promise. I may have to knock off another day, maybe Tuesday. One thing I'm going to do for sure is record a bunch of fascist dogs this Sunday on the talk show, so we'll have a lot to talk about next week. But, you know, really, there's been just so much going on, just trying to catch up is crazy. And you know what I may have to do, because my fingers are getting harder and harder to type, you know what I mean? As you get old, the arthritis sets in, and there's times when you just want to stick your hands in Aspirin cream, whatever it's called. Just please, that or do hard drugs, one of the two. If I can find me a crooked doctor to prescribe me some OxyContin, I'll do one of them pig boy kind of shows. But, what I was getting at, though, is as time goes by and I'm still alive, it's going to be harder and harder for me to type that much every day. So, you know, I may just go all radio. I don't know how that's going to work. I know most of you are cheating your employers, reading BarkUp.com during the day, and you can't be listening to BarkUp Radio during the day, so we're not sure what's going to happen there. But hey, we're going to play the present while we can. What else do I need to do? Oh, thanks to Chicago Jim for the music. I know we didn't get much in because, once again, you know, see, isn't it just like me? I go for so long without doing a radio show, and then I turn the microphone on, and I blabber, blabber, blather, and then pretty soon the hour's up. I should have done shorter bits with more music in between it, because the music really helps to break up the monotony of my rat-like voice. But hey, what can you do? So, my name's Bart. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm going to get to work on show number 147 right away. I'd like to thank you, the listener. I'd like to thank you, the subscriber. And if you're listening without subscribing, shame, shame, shame. You know what else we need to do? I'll put this on the page, too, but someone reminded me I should, solicit, I should learn to speak. I need to solicit help for the radio show. You know, I think we tried this a couple years ago and got no response, but I know there's those of you out there with microphones and computers and stuff. You could put together a little comedy bit, and I'm not looking for a half hour, but if you could put together a little 3, 4, 5, 6 minute little comedy bit, or just something, maybe if you got a rant that people would be interested in hearing, you know, instead of writing a 300 word letter, do a 3 or 4 minute spiel. You know, hi Bart, this is Bob, and I'm pissed off about this Detroit thing, and just, you know, spiel, vent your spleen for a few minutes, and then if I can clutch a couple of those, see, that'd get more radio more often, because if five people send me 3 or 4 minutes apiece, that's 20 minutes that I don't have to do. And the way this damn radio thing works is it takes 10, 12 hours to do an hour of radio. I know it shouldn't. You'd think you turn on the microphone, you talk for an hour, and there's a show, but no, doesn't work that way. So if I had people sending stuff in, then that would cut my time down. And yeah, cutting my time down, that sounds real good to me. Gives me a little wood, to be honest. Okay, so I'm going to get back to work. Show number 147. Thanks to the subscribers. Thanks to Jim for doing the music. This is Bart and KJ. I am out of here. Oh, and I was going to leave you with something. You know, I was bragging about that my iPhone. It's got that Shazam thing on there where if you hear a cool song, you can hit the Shazam button and it tells you who it is. Well, I tried that and it gave me the wrong song. There's a song called The Heavy. No, a group called The Heavy. The song was Dignity and it was real cool. So I hit it and it told me, yeah, that song was Dignity by The Heavy. So I went to the iTunes store. See, try to work within the system. Went to the iTunes store and I downloaded it. And it was a whole different song. It was some kind of speed metal deal. I don't understand. I need a higher IQ to make that happen. But anyway, I'm doing the best I can. I'm going to end the show with some kind of song. Pray for me.